Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Program. Brad Friedman in for just one more hour. In for Mike Malloy, who is out enjoying a week off. It's been a hell of a week around here. Really enjoyed sitting in. Hope you were able to put up with me.
It was good to be here. Interesting week between 9/11 today, the 8th anniversary, the healthcare speech live coverage on Wednesday, Labor Day.
Hell of a week. Broadcasting live from Los Angeles, where the sun has finally set. We're glad you're sticking with us out there on the East Coast. Our phone number is 877-520-1150. Interesting. Coming at 9/11 from a whole bunch of different angles tonight, and I'm going to get to shortly here one of the most disturbing costs, frankly, of 9/11. But I wanted to get the phone lines were filled up, and I had to rant on Rush Limbaugh, so I didn't get to get to those phones as I'd promised. Joe in Van Nuys, California. Welcome to the Malloy Program, Joe.
Hi. Good last name, Freedmen, like you freed men from the lies.
That's it, Joe. Thanks for noticing.
I got a couple of two-word things. One is double standard. Yeah. The other one is character assassination.
Yeah.
And the double standard, of course, you know that fairness doctrine thing back in the Reagan era, you know, that went away.
Killed by Ronald Reagan in 1987. Fairness doctrine is gone, and Bill Clinton made it worse in 1996 with the Telecommunications Act that allowed these empires of media to grow instead of
Ronald
the people's airwaves. Yeah,
I believe Ronald was probably the coincidental greatest character assassinator because all he had to do was wiggle his head a little bit, say, well, there you go again, and the intellects like Teddy Kennedy and Jimmy Carter, you know, their credibility, reputation, oh, they're the dummies now, all of a sudden.
Yeah.
It was just masterful. And then,
it is.
And
they
then
own
that
the media.
Fairness doctrine went, and it was like evil had a litter of lying dogs.
Yep.
Like Rush and O'Reilly, you know, and later on Beck, I guess, was the second litter.
Yep.
But, oh.
I couldn't agree more, Joe. Well said. Thank you, sir. Good talking to you. All right, let me get to, let's see, Brian in Redondo Beach. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Program, Brian.
Hi, Brad. How are you doing tonight?
I'm okay.
You know, I'm sitting here listening to your show right now. And,
good.
And
perfect.
Awesome. And
I'm sitting here doing it right now, as it turns out, my show right now. All right, go ahead.
You're going to get your own one day.
All right.
I promise.
Okay.
But Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and all those guys, and I heard the president said, I talk to everyone. If we bring in the leaders of the birthers, the healthers, the deathers, the teabaggers, talk to them, show them the unfinished bill that's not even complete yet, and teach them about government, that it has to go through committees. There's, no one knows. I mean, most people don't know. It's gone through 80 committees already.
Right.
So we're 80% done.
Yeah.
And the lies have to stop. And if he gets those people, teach them about government, let them walk through their White House, let them walk through the yard, and tell them that the government is not that scary. And I know he doesn't want their guns. He can fix it easily. I think he can do it easy by just talking to those people.
Well, thanks for that call, Brian. The problem is those people don't want to talk to him. They're not trying to make a better health care bill. They're not trying to work with him to get what they want. They want to kill the bill. They want to kill him politically, at least. You know, it's about destroying Barack Obama. It's about destroying Democrats. It's not about improving the bill. I've been critical as hell of this this bill, but not because I want to destroy Barack Obama, but because I think we need a better bill. We need health care in America. We need America to understand that health care is a human right. End of story. Period. Done. But if you're negotiating in bad faith, as these birthers, deathers, teabaggers, and other clowns are, then it doesn't matter if you talk to them because they don't want to talk to you. And he has. He has over and over again tried to talk to them, invited them in. They have been part of the negotiations. They've, you know, gotten hundreds of their amendments in. They're strictly against it. You heard Groucho Marx sing it in the last hour. All right, let's get to Peter in Philadelphia. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Peter.
Michael, hi. I have a question.
Wait, Michael?
For you.
Who's Michael?
Oh, I'm sorry. I have a question for you.
All right. Brad, I'm Brad.
Michael was my kid. Sorry, Brad. I was talking to my kid over here, Michael, who was looking at me.
Oh, okay. Behave, Michael.
I consider myself to be a centrist.
Okay.
All right. I'm not far left. I'm not far right.
Me too, by the way, Peter.
Great. And the question that I really had was, with the Van Jones issue from last week, and I listened to Beck and I listened to Rush, did they play his quotes out of context? Were they not playing the full quotes that he was using? Because I was just hearing blurbs.
What did you hear? What quotes?
Well, when he was there was one where he was talking about Bush with the oil, and he was making sounds, going, "Oh, drill more, drill more, drill more." Mm-hmm. And then there was the other one where
was that? And what was that? Was that offensive? Were you offended by it?
Not that I was offended by it, but like I said, I'm a centrist because I know there's good and bad on both sides.
Yeah, me too. So what's your point?
And I didn't know because I really don't listen a lot to the left radio. I started listening to it in about the last week just to try to get a balance on both sides because I just got the satellite radio.
Where did you find the left radio?
On Sirius.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, on Sirius Left. So I listened to the right, left and the right. I was trying to get an equal perspective on both.
Fair enough.
And I just wanted to get the left side of it, of what they thought about the Van Jones quotes that were being used.
Well, I will tell you this. He made some jokes, Van Jones did. He called Republicans a-holes, but what he was actually saying was that was a good thing, and that Barack Obama, he said, should be more of an a-hole, that I should be more of an a-hole, and that we might get more stuff done. Was there anything that you were offended by that you heard Van Jones say that deserved to lynch him?
No. There's, you know what? It's politics. And
well,
that's just, it's the way it is. It's the left against the right and the right against the left. And that's when people.
No, it's not. It's the right against America. And that's a big difference. You gotta turn down your radio there, Peter. What are you thinking? Turn it down. Because I'm enjoying talking to you, but it's not the right against the left. It's the right against America. Because remember, he was critical, Beck was, of Van Jones for signing that statement asking questions about 9/11. But that was after he had spent the week in a special series of episodes subtitled Reasonable Questions for Unreasonable Times. And he told everyone that they should question with boldness and they should hold to the truth and that even if the answers scare you, you must speak without fear. He quoted Thomas Jefferson saying, question with boldness even the existence of a God, because if there be one, he must more approve the homage of reason than that of blindfolded fear. And then what Glenn Beck did was throw Van Jones into the briar patch for daring to ask about 9/11, for daring to join with 50 family members of victims of 9/11 and asking for a proper investigation. It's outrageous, Peter. Surely you understand that.
Well, I said, I'm kind of a centrist. I'm listening to both, and I just like to get the opinions of both sides before I make a judgment.
Okay, just so you know, there is no left on the air. There is the right, the wacko right that you hear, and there is the center, folks like you and me. That's it.
And so, but there's no left?
No.
Okay.
Who's on the left?
What's that?
Who do you hear on the air who's on the left?
Well, who do I hear on the air that's on the left? Well, you sound pretty left because you're saying you're centrist, but you're saying that the right is that the right is horrible.
Well,
you're calling yourself a centrist.
Well, do you believe in the rule of law?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe in the Constitution?
Yes, I very much believe in the Constitution.
Okay. Well, don't you believe then that when people break the law, when people violate the Constitution, there should be accountability?
Yes, on both sides.
I concur. Is that the position of someone on the left or right or the center?
That's the center. But as you're saying, there is no left. It's only right and right wackos and centers.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's
correct. Have a good night.
There is no left. Thank you, Peter. There is no left. You folks are stuck in the middle with me, and I'm glad to have you here. All right, we're taking your calls, 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. Actually, let me go ahead momentarily here and take a break, because I want to come back with this decision. This should speak to Peter and the Constitution and those of us who have real concerns about the Constitution, those of us right down the middle, right in the center. Those of us who agree with the rest of America, with 70% of America who wants health care reform, you remember us here in the center. The left, I don't know where to find them. The liberal media, where the hell are they? I wish they'd show up. I'd feel good about that, but I haven't seen them. So, anyway, it's just the truth tellers out here and the truth seekers out here battling the liars. That's a lot more accurate than this right, left, red, blue nonsense. Don't buy it. Don't buy it, Peter. Y'all can do better than that. 877-520-1150. Brad in from Malloy. Stay with us.
Going to love this. Just love it.
This goes out to Peter in Philadelphia.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
I do, to speak to Peter.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it's not.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
No fear here.
I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs.
Fear is for Limbaugh and friends.
To the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
That's right, Peter, I am stuck in the middle with you. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in our final hour tonight here talking about just about everything, but what the hell happened since 9/11 and the fear, the lies. Folks, we got to put an end to it. We got to put an end to it. Enough fear. No living in fear. Got that? Well, at least not over at bradblog.com. Taking your calls at 877-520-1150. I'll read you a story in a second. Court decision talking about fear, talking about the way that we behave, the way that we misbehave, the way that we destroyed the Constitution and everything that this nation stands for out of fear. This case of Abdullah Al-Kid versus John Ashcroft, in which Ashcroft took a spanking by the Ninth Circuit Court. Three judges all appointed by Republican presidents. Two of them happened to be George W. Bush appointees, as I recall. And they spanked him, took him down. For what? For locking away a citizen without charges. For no reason whatsoever. We'll talk about that after we come back at the bottom of the hour. We will take your calls 877 until then and beyond then. 877-520-1150. Tim in Glendale, welcome to the Mike Malloy program.
Thank you, Brad. I was just wondering, is that Van Jones? Is he a centrist?
He is now. I mean, yeah, actually, if you read what he's done, what he's up to, yeah, I think he's a centrist. He had days when he was an angry revolutionary, I think, or at least he joked about being a revolutionary. But yeah, he's pretty much straight down the middle now, and he's been lauded from all sides, at least until he was named by Barack Obama. Why do you ask?
Well, as I understand it, he had a clear affiliation, or maybe still does, with the Communist Party. Is that BS, or is that...
That's BS. That's BS.
He never had an affiliation with the Communist Party.
That's correct.
Well, then if that's the case, then Glenn Beck must be lying.
Bingo.
Well, I think I would be more curious to know if Barack Obama threw him off the bus, why would he... Unless there was some other affiliation besides just this thing about, reasoning I got fired. How is that possible?
How is that possible? Because the right-wingers own the media, and 24/7 they hammer, they lie, they make things up. How is it possible that Bill Clinton could be impeached for getting a sexual act in the White House, whereas George Bush lied an entire nation into war, thousands are dead, violated the Constitution by torturing thousands of people in secret prisons around the country, outing a CIA agent for the first time in the history of this nation, and he has gotten nothing, no impeachment, no slap on the wrist, no nothing, and you wonder why it is, how it is that these cowardly Democrats, you know, bend over and to this sort of threat from the media that comes at them 24/7? Are you really asking me that question, Tim?
I would just be curious to know, and I will look it up. But
yeah.
But I would have to believe that Van Jones, from everything I've understood and read,
yeah,
he had a clear affiliation with the Communist Party. Now you say he doesn't. You say he doesn't.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But
yeah.
But there had to be more. If you're going to get fired from a job,
yeah.
I don't care how strong you think that the right wing media is,
Tim.
There must be a reason why more people must enjoy listening to that than they do the left wing,
Tim. More well, for one, Tim, he was guilty of being a Democrat. Look it up. Go look it up, but don't look it up on Glenn Beck's side.
Not being a Democrat.
Okay.
Not being a Democrat, Brad. You've got to be honest now.
No, I am honest now. He was guilty of being a Democrat. And actually, you're right. You're right. He was guilty of being a black Democrat, the worst of all crimes.
It's not a racial thing.
Think it over, Tim. Think it over. I got to let you go. I'm going to the bottom of the hour here. The fact of the matter is, when you say that people don't hear it because it's not as popular, I've said this over and over again. Tom Hartman has said it over and over again. Stephanie Miller has said it over and over again. The fact of the matter is, in Stephanie's case, she's on about 60 stations. She beats Laura Ingraham's ass every town, every city, every market that they're in. But Laura Ingraham of Fox News is on hundreds of affiliates. They will only allow Stephanie on 60, despite the fact that when they're on head-to-head, who wins? Stephanie does. Now, is that because the Democrats are not popular enough? Is that because the liberals and the progressives don't make good radio? They're not entertaining? Think again. Bill Clinton allowed for just a handful of companies to own every damn radio station in the country, which means they control your public airwaves. Pay attention, folks. And turn off Fox News. They lie to you. They're playing you for chumps. Wake up, America. Back with more.
I used to roll the dice, feel the fear in my enemy's eyes. All of my life I have searched for clarity. I have wrestled with two paths buried deep inside of me. I lost some rounds, been knocked around, felt my share of defeat. Yet somehow I've always managed to get back on my feet.
Back on our feet. We were never off our feet. Here on the Mike Malloy Show, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, your friendly citizen, investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, drafted into duty, be in the media here until Mike and Kathy Malloy return next Monday night. Mark it on your calendars. The one and only Mike Malloy will be back. I'll finish up with your calls in a second, but I wanted to give 877-520-1150. But I wanted to give you a quick idea of some of the cost that we paid other than in the death toll in the thousands and thousands that have happened since 9/11. Because of just some terribly poor decisions. And that death toll continues to rise, whether it's the first responders, whether it's the folks who are still out there stuck in Afghanistan and in Iraq, shamefully so. Another cost is in the legal system and in the Constitution that has been destroyed. Attention, teabaggers. For the last 8 years, your administration, who you voted for, has been destroying your Constitution. This is a decision that I've been trying to get to all week long. I want to try to get it in here. Abdullah Al-Kid versus John Ashcroft. And here are the I want to give you the facts and procedural background on what happened with Al-Kid, because the decision was stern, was clear, and by the three judges on the Ninth Circuit Court who slammed Ashcroft and George Bush for what they did to this guy, and those three judges were all appointed by Republican presidents. Okay, here's the facts and procedural background. I'll try to read quickly. Pay attention. Plaintiff appellee Al-Kid was born Lavoni T. Kid in Wichita, Kansas, while attending college at the University of Idaho, where he was a highly regarded running back on the university's football team. He converted to Islam and changed his name. In the spring and summer of 2002, he and his then wife were the target of a FBI Federal Bureau of Investigation surveillance as part of a broad anti-terrorism investigation allegedly aimed at Arab and Muslim men. No evidence of criminal activity by Al-Kid was ever discovered. Al-Kid had planned to fly to Saudi Arabia in the spring of 2003 to study Arabic and Islamic law on a scholarship at a Saudi university. On February 13, 2003, a federal grand jury in Ohio indicted Samir Omar Al-Husayn for visa fraud and making false statements to U.S. officials. On March 14, the Idaho U.S. Attorney's Office submitted an application to a magistrate judge of the District of Idaho seeking Al-Kid's arrest as a material witness in the Al-Husayn trial. Appended to the application was an affidavit by Scott Mace, special agent of the FBI in Boise. The Mace affidavit described two contacts Al-Kid had with Al-Husayn. Al-Kid had received, quote, in excess of $20,000 from Al-Husayn. I hope I'm saying that right. Al-Husayn, something like that. Though the Mace affidavit does not indicate what this payment was supposedly for. And Al-Kid had, quote, met with Al-Husayn associates after returning from a trip to Yemen. It also contained evidence of Al-Kid's contacts with officials of the Islamic Assembly of North America, including one official who was, quote, recently arrested in New York. It ended with the statement, quote, due to Al-Kid's demonstrated involvement with the defendant, he is believed to be in possession of information germane to this matter, which will be crucial to the prosecution, unquote. The Mace affidavit did not elaborate on what, quote, information that Al-Kid might have had, nor how his testimony might be, quote, germane, let alone, quote, crucial to the prosecution of Al-Husayn. The affidavit further stated, by the way, I'm reading from the court's decision. This is the court. These are the judges, the Republican-appointed judges who found in this case. The affidavit further stated the kid is scheduled to take a one-way first-class flight costing approximately $5,000 to Saudi Arabia on Sunday, March 16, 2003, at approximately 6 o'clock Eastern Time. He's scheduled to fly from Dulles International Airport to JFK International Airport in New York and then to Saudi Arabia. It is believed that if Al-Kid travels to Saudi Arabia, the U.S. government will be unable to secure his presence at the trial via subpoena. Well, in fact, the court decision goes on to say, Al-Kid had a round-trip ticket, a coach class ticket, costing approximately $1,700. Not $5,000, not one way, not first class. The Mace affidavit omitted the facts that Al-Kid was a U.S. resident and citizen, was not mentioned in the affidavit, that his parents, wife, and two children were likewise U.S. residents and citizens, and that he had previously cooperated with the FBI on several occasions when FBI agents asked to interview him. The magistrate judge issued the warrant, nonetheless, the very same day. Pursuant to the material witness warrant, Al-Kid was arrested 2 days later at the ticket counter at Dulles International Airport. He was handcuffed, taken to the airport's police substation, where he was interrogated. Thereafter, he was detained for an aggregate of 16 days, at the Alexandria Detention Center in Virginia, the Oklahoma Federal Transfer Center, and the Ada County, Idaho Jail. Remember, he hasn't done anything. I'll keep reading. He was strip-searched on multiple occasions, confined in the high-security unit of each facility. During transfer between facilities, Al-Kid was handcuffed, shackled about the wrists, legs, and waist, allowed out of his cell only 2 hours each day, and his cell was kept lit 24 hours a day, unlike other cells in the high security wing. Remember, he was arrested as a material witness. He was not even accused of anything. He was arrested so that he could be called as a witness at someone else's trial. 16 days. in one detention center after another, with his cell kept lit 24 hours a day. On March 31, after petitioning the court, Al-Kid was ordered released on the condition that he live with his wife at his in-laws' home in Nevada, limit his travel to Nevada and three other states, report regularly to a probation officer, and consent to home visits throughout the period of supervision, and surrender his passport. After almost a year under these conditions, the court permitted Al-Kid to secure his own residence in Las Vegas, Nevada, as Al-Kid and his wife were separating because of the duress, no doubt, brought on by this case. He lived under these conditions for three more months before being released at the end of Al-Hussein's trial, more than 15 months after being arrested. Remember, he's done nothing, and he's a citizen, and nobody bothered to tell the judge. Going back to the court papers here. In July 2004, Al-Kid was then fired from his job. He alleges he was terminated when he was denied a security clearance because of the arrest. He's now separated from his wife and has been unable to find steady employment. He was also ultimately deprived of his chance to study in Saudi Arabia on scholarship. Here's the kicker. Al-Kid, according to the court documents, was never called as a witness in the Al-Hussein trial or in any other criminal proceedings. Imagine if Barack Obama had done that to a U.S. citizen. Let's say he was, Christian, and he was detained for never having done anything for months on end. He lost everything. Who would be angry about that, you suppose? Fox News, would they be talking about this story? Would they be reporting it? Would Rush Limbaugh be reporting it? You probably haven't heard about this story. The judges, of course, decided that, yes, he could be sued. John Ashcroft could be sued for this. The judges also wrote in the decision that they found what happened to be repugnant to the Constitution and a painful reminder of some of the most ignominious chapters of our national history. Hey, teabaggers, that was your administration. That's what they did. Now, by the way, Barack Obama is doing the same thing. He's detaining people without charges. Preventative detention, they call it. And he's keeping them imprisoned for months, if not years, on end without charges. You want to stand up against your country, against your constitution, being shredded by your country? Where the hell were you teabaggers for the last 8 years? I've been waiting to hear from you. You haven't showed up. Michael from Hollywood, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, how's it going, Brad? Long time no talk. I called about something else, but Ashcroft has done a lot more things than that, and the amount of people that were detained were between 300 and 600 that were under the same circumstances. But I called about something else. There's the guy that called a little while ago having trouble discerning left from right.
Yeah.
I use an example to explain it very well, and everybody understands it once I finish.
Go for it.
If you've ever played tug of war, you got that long rope. You got that line in the sand, and you got the red flag.
Right.
Now, to the left, the Democrats, to the right, the Republicans, for the last 40 years, the Republicans have been tugging and tugging and tugging and tugging and tugging, and that red flag has moved and moved and moved and moved and moved, and now that we got someone centrist, in fact, I consider Barack Obama a little bit right, in office, they're pointing to the red flag and they're saying that's the center.
I know, of course.
And it's not. It's the sand. It's the line in the sand.
Of course, you're absolutely right, Michael. Thanks for the call. There is no left. I think it was Bill Maher who said that the left is it has not moved to the right, and the right has moved to the insane asylum. That's about right. There is no left anymore. Have you taken a look at Barack Obama's policies? Good Lord, the left, the progressive position for health care, that would be single payer. It's not even on the table. All right. I'm going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back and try to get as many of your calls in as we possibly can in our last segment here on the Mike Malloy Show. What a week! I've had a good time. Hope you've had half as good a time as I have. All right. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. One more segment. Your last chance. 877-520-1150. If you can get into those phone lines, we're going to fly through them quickly. So get your points together. Get them right. And be ready right after this. Filling in for our last few minutes here for the good Mike Malloy, who will return on Monday. Set your clocks. Pencil it into your calendars. The one and only Mike Malloy will be back next Monday on these fine radio stations. I'm going to fly through the phones in just a second here, but make sure I get everybody in. I want to thank Tony Sorrentino for a hell of a great week. I said it before, you're the best engineer in show business. Really, thank you, man. Really appreciate it, Tony. Producer Desi Doyen has been kicking ass on the phones, or as Stephanie says in this very chair, phones and drums. Thank you, Des, for producing all week. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org for our archives and podcasts. Agent 99 has been holding down the fort in our new chat room at BradBlog.com. Smartly done, Niners. Want to thank K-Talk AM 1150 out here in L.A. for hosting me. Yes, your progressive talk station in Los Angeles. And, of course, Mike and Kathy Malloy for allowing me to fill in for you both while you've been gone. Hope you had a great vacation, and I'll be back anytime you need me. Of course, until then, I'll be over there on the Brad blog where you can find me, and I hope you will. For those listening tonight on MikeMalloy.com, make sure to stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid. All right, let me fly through these calls as quickly as I can. Oh, my old friend Tom from Riverside, California. Hey, Tom Corbett. How are you, my friend?
Hey, doing great, Brad. How you doing, brother?
I'm hanging in there. Good to hear from you. You, even though you're my buddy, you only get about 20 seconds like everyone else.
Okay, are you ready?
Go.
Okay. Tower 7 dropped 4 hours later on its own during 9/11. The plane into the Pentagon never released any video for the most heavily protected building in the world.
Uh-huh.
Is there any list of passengers for the plane that went into the Pentagon? The hole in the Pentagon is smaller than the plane, and no plane parts were found on the ground. And to continue their ability to cover up everything, e-voting machine company ES&S has now taken over Diebold, and now a private company will count 75% of all the votes cast in the U.S. In secret. They will count them in secret.
Smartly. Smart.
Those things.
Yep. Smartly done. If you want to be outraged, thanks, Tom, for that call. Good hearing from you. Hope you're well. Yeah, if you want to be outraged about something, be outraged at the fact that 120 million votes will be counted by one company in secret, a company by the name of ES&S, who has failed, lied, cheated time and time again in one election after another in your corporatized, privatized public elections. Once public elections. Jen in Houston, welcome to the Malloy Show. You get your 20 seconds. What's up, Jen?
Hi. The thing that convinced me the most about 9/11 being a government conspiracy is David Shippers, the lead prosecutor against Clinton in the impeachment trials, represented 12 FBI agents who were gagged because they tried to stop the attacks, but they were thwarted. There was an article about it in the Washington Post.
Okay.
And
I'm not familiar with it, but I believe, yeah, I know that some of them testified that Sabelle Edmonds brought in Bashir. Oh, shoot, I don't have his name, but the Iranian FBI translator who said that they had warnings going back as far as April of 2001. Anything else quickly, Jen? I got to go.
Okay.
Well done. Using your airwaves. They do belong to you. Okay, let me see who I can get in here. Dave in Montana, welcome to the show. You got 20 seconds. What's up?
Thank you. 2 points real quick. I think it's funny in the land of the free and the home of the brave, a tactic used against cowards, terrorism, works. It's to destroy our Constitution.
Yep.
And that means that the Democrats and Republicans are a bunch of cowards. Second, the medical thing. To fix a problem created by insurance, with insurance, makes me think of the competence of these guys. And to fine us for not having this insurance is fascist of them. And then to tax us on the medical bills that we get is really crazy. And then I thought we own the insurance companies now.
Well,
we bought them out.
No. We didn't. We just gave them a whole bunch of your money. Okay, can I fit in one more here? Yes. Let's see. Oh, man. Let's see. Steven has been holding forever. Quickly, Steven, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you.
You bet.
Broadcasts have been awesome.
Thank you, sir.
The scientific evidence alone calls for an independent international investigation due to the cost we've had. The truth is the integrity we need, not people who invalidate it. 9/11 Mysteries is the best documentary I've seen. It goes into the science of demolitions. I highly recommend people watch it.
Thank you
for an awesome job, Brad.
Thank you, brother.
Awesome.
I appreciate it, Stephen. Thanks for holding so long.
All right.
And for using your airwaves. Use them or lose them. That's what I always say. And, yeah, unfortunately, we lost them. Let's take them back. What do you say? Hey, by the way, I forgot to thank the Truth Seekers over at DU. Yes, Barbs, I caught you there in the Brad Blog chat room. You're welcome. Thank you for being so supportive. It has been a tremendous week, an exhausting week. I'm tired, but I got a lot of back stuff now that I got to catch up on over at the Brad Blog. I hope you will join me there at bradblog.com because there's a whole hell of a lot of stuff to come, at least until someone is silly enough to give me a microphone again. I've enjoyed being with you. Thanks for having me. Spread the good word. Keep it lit, America. We'll see you soon.